Now, before we get started, I'd like to just tell you that I borrowed the following short story from a Christian comedian and motivational speaker by the name of Ken Davis. He's got a lot of really good stuff out there. Look him up if you want. And that story goes something like this. A pilot flying his plane was descending through thick, milky, white clouds with his very, very nervous wife sitting in the passenger seat next to him. This was the first time he had flown with no reference to visual clues, and out the windows, as I said, there was only milky white. No horizon, no clouds, nothing but milky, thick, milky white clouds. The pilot was totally dependent on the instruments of his plane. And to express her absolute fear, concern, and doubt in her husband's ability to land that plane safely in those conditions. Well, without removing his eyes from the instruments in front of him, the husband, the pilot, instructed or told his wife, "Honey, just find your purse, pull your Bible out of the purse, and read the Word of God. That should calm you down." Well, she took his advice. She did. And quickly, she found her purse. She opened it. She opened her Bible straight away to Psalms 20 and verse 18. And she began to read out loud. And it said, and read, "Where there is no vision," you're well ahead of me, "the people perish." And then straight away, she fainted. She fainted. The fact is, she had no fear, no reason to fear in her husband's ability to land the plane, because he had great vision. Why? Because he was trusting. He knew where he was going, and he was trusting in the correct instruments to lead and guide him there. And third, the greatest distraction to his success in landing that plane, just fainted. So as we navigate this milky white wasteland of Satan's world, and I guarantee you it is, I thought it beneficial to address three elements of vision, and there are far more, but I'm just going to address three of them today, and their relevance to the hope that lies within every last one of us. According to Merriam-Webster, vision is defined as, quote, "the act of power of imagination." Still quoting, "when you apply vision to the future, you can create a mental picture that can be used to direct your actions." End quote. Vision serves as a guide and can be used to provide a sense of purpose. Challenges in life are inevitable. We know that's true. You know, when you run into a wall or you find yourself immersed in those silky white clouds, you need to know which way to go, right? Vision provides you with something to look forward to and always work towards. It provides you with a reason to keep going, even when times get rough. Man, I believe we all need this, don't we? At least I do. So the first element of vision, if you will, I've already mentioned it, is to have vision is to know where one is going. To know where one is going. Revelation 20 and verse 6 speaks directly to this. Revelation 20 and verse 6. It says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What an incredible destiny, right? We know where we are going. This is God's vision for every last one of us in this room. This is where we're going. We know where we're going. Presently, this world does not share the same vision as we do, unfortunately. But God will open their eyes to his vision for them in their allotted time. The Holy Day plans point that out clearly. But God has given those who respond to his call vision to their ultimate destiny. We know our destiny. We know where we're going. It is our responsibility to carry out God's calling, to fight to good fight to the bitter end, if you will. And the second element of vision is, the second one, we must develop faith in and trust our instruments of faith, our instruments of faith, by having a thorough knowledge, I'll repeat that, by having a thorough knowledge of our spiritual instruments, all of them. And these should be, all those instruments should be obvious to us, right? It's the Father, it's Christ our shepherd. It's the words of our Bible, prayer, study, meditation, and fasting. All of those we're very versed in. But how well are we versed in the words of our Lord and Savior, the Bible itself? Truly, ask yourself that. I do that daily. A well-known passage of 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm just going to partially quote it. It says that, we know it, that Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, right? And that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We know Scripture is incredibly valued to us. And a corollary Scripture to that is Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. This is kind of a big one to me in my personal life. I think about it constantly. It reminds us that our thoughts are not God's thoughts. His thoughts are so much higher than ours. And man, that's hard to grasp sometimes, right? Because we value our own opinions and our own thoughts. At least mankind, the carnal man does. That meaning that our thoughts, our opinions of Scripture don't really mean that much to God. What matters to God are his thoughts on what we should be doing and how we should live. We see that struggle throughout Scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation, throughout the Bible. Mankind has always had a problem with Scripture and God's thoughts, from their feelings of eating pigs to the Sabbath. They have never matched up with God's words and his thoughts. The carnal nature of man will always place more value on his own opinions and thoughts. And when that happens, we start to place less value on our own spiritual instruments. We may lose our bearings and stray from God's vision. That's the Christianity of this world. That is Satan's false Christianity. In the world of aviation, this is called the graveyard spiral. It's devastating, which is defined as the inability of a pilot to correctly interpret aircraft attitude, altitude, airspeed in relation to the earth or other points of reference. As the story that I opened up with pointed out, the pilot knew his instruments well. He trusted them because he studied them and he knew how to read them correctly. He didn't second guess them or have his own opinion or interpretation of what the gauges were telling him. He was avoiding that graveyard spiral. He trusted his instruments. That's why he didn't give up on his flight plan. That's why we don't give up on our flight plan. He knew that if he just remained focused and believed his instruments, they would lead and guide them to a safe landing to their destiny, to their location. Without faith in God and correct understanding of his word, there can be no vision of true hope. Now we're going to the third element of vision, if you're taking notes. The third element of vision, it is to stay focused and don't get distracted. That's a biggie for all of us, at least it is for me. The pilot could have gotten irritated by his wife's fear, right? And tried to calm her down. But what that had done is jeopardized their lives if he took his focus off his instruments. The thing is, Satan is trying desperately to divert our attention, to blur our vision of our destiny, and sow distrust in our instruments of faith. We live in a selfie world. We do. Man, everybody wants to take a selfie of themselves, right? And then post it on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or whatever. This world, mankind in general, is so consumed with their thoughts, their opinions, and themselves in general. Satan uses our own opinions of ourselves to distract us from focusing on God's thoughts and his instruments of faith. That may not be us, okay? It may not be us, and I hope. But we still live in that society. And that attitude can easily fly beneath our radars at times. It can. Because last time I checked, I'm still a carnal being, right? Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. Proverbs 4, 25 and through 27. I'm just going to mention it here. It says, to remain steadfast and to not turn to the left or the right, to remain steady and focused. Don't let distractions turn us from the path of righteousness. Remember the pilot's wife? She didn't know where she was going because she couldn't see. She had no hope of making it home safely because she never took the time to understand or study how to read gauges of the aircraft. She was lost. She had no hope. And she fainted out of sheer fear. She didn't trust her pilot, her husband, or the instruments. She became distracted and lost in the milky white confusion. She simply didn't have vision. She lost hope and was lost in despair. And that is what God and this church is trying to help us avoid. You and I live in those milky white clouds of confusion. We do. God has called us and has opened our eyes to his perfect spiritual instruments, enabling us to have his perfect vision, to see through the milky white clouds of confusion. It behooves us to become well informed of every instrument of faith that God has given us, so that we may find our way home to our eventual birth into his spiritual family and the kingdom of God and after. So that we may, So as I close, I have three simple requests of everybody in this room. Just three. I ask that when the clouds get thick outside, remember, remain focused on where we are going. Second one is never relent on our prayer, studying God's word, fasting, and meditation. Learn to trust in and have faith in our instruments of faith. And finally, brethren, I ask that we remain focused. Do not let Satan distract us from the vision of his hope that lies within each and every one of us.